KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
Well, it is once again for time for another edition of Happy Trails as we take a look at the trails community and keep our eyes on the prize, a regional trail system throughout Humboldt County. Today, our eyes are on Manila and the bike and pedestrian community there. Efforts to slow traffic down there, working with and sometimes against Caltrans. Joining us via telephone, we've got Emily Sinkhorn, and we've also got Michael Fennell. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning.
Indeed. So, Michael, thanks for joining us. Do appreciate that. Explain the hat that you're wearing today.
Well, today I want people to think about slowing down on when they're driving through Manila on Highway 255. The citizens of Manila have been fighting for traffic safety on 255 for the last 25 to 35 years.
Now, for those who aren't aware of what 255 is, because you fully explained that to me, why don't you fully explain that to the audience as well?
Well, it's the route that starts at the three bridges over on R Street in Eureka and travels over to the peninsula and then turns north, goes through the community of Manila, along the bottoms, all the way toward Arcata, and ends at K Street in Arcata.
So it's about an eight-mile stretch there.
Eight-mile stretch. It's a state route, and the speed limit is 55 miles an hour, set by Caltrans. And the community of Manila, because we have such dangerous intersections, and we've had some serious accidents. We had two accidents at the same intersection in October, three weeks apart, and one was fatal. So we know that Caltrans responds to fatalities, but we know that you have to have many of them for them to actually act quickly. So we were trying to avoid having more fatalities, and we're trying to get Caltrans to respond before we have more fatalities.
So your efforts have included, and the efforts, by the way, have been going on for, what, like 25 years or something, right?
Yes, at least. I've been in the community 24 years, and I remember when I first started going to community meetings that we would complain, Caltrans would come, and they would come to our meetings, the community services district meetings, and they would tell us, yes, we're listening to you, however, we can't lower the speed limit because there's something called the 85th percentile, and if we set the speed limit below that, we're a metric that 85% of people drive a certain speed, then we set the speed limit at that. Otherwise, it's a speed trap. It's Caltrans bureaucratic jargon. Believe it or not, yes, they have come to tell us that the majority of people go about 56 to 59 miles an hour. Therefore, we cannot lower the speed limit below 55.
Well, that seems absolutely ridiculous. There are plenty of places where I think the speed limit is way slower than someone could drive, but that's the speed limit, so that's what you drive.
Well, we have pointed that out to Caltrans many times, but, you know, you're talking to a bureaucracy, one that I think the Soviets would have been proud of in terms of inertia.
You know, I'll tell you what, a perfect example of this is the safety corridor, which has been in effect for about 10 years. That's certainly designed for a much higher speed limit, but for safety reasons, they slowed it down to 50 miles an hour.
Right, and I think they actually had to go to Sacramento and you know, go through some kind of legislative sleight of hand to actually do that because they're so resistant to doing it.
Huh, that's really kind of amazing.
Right.
Yeah,
so we have a long history of animals being killed, pedestrians being killed, people almost being rattled off. You know, besides trails, I mean, we have a lot of attractions in Manila. We have the park, the Manila Park on the bayside, and you can walk around the park and take a trail around, which brings you right to the edge of the bay. Now, on the other side of the highway, we have the community center, and we have trails out to the dunes and out to the ocean. But a lot of these things require crossing Highway 255. And so you're asking people to almost risk their lives at certain times of the day when there's a lot of traffic crossing that. So that's one of the problems is that they set the speed limit at 255 as if it were a freeway, when in fact we're a community. with the highway bisecting our community, and kids, dogs, all kinds of combinations of people and animals cross that highway to access the other side of town. And Caltrans acts as if we're all supposed to just be fast. Last week at our Community Services District meeting, I asked the Caltrans representative for advice. What does Caltrans recommend for crossing the highway safely? And he started to say, well, you should wait till the right time. You should wear light clothing. You shouldn't do it in the dark or when it's inclement. And I'm thinking, you got to cross when you got to cross, dude.
Wow. So this is an interesting argument that's being made. But now I could understand the argument, perhaps, if 255 was really the sole route between Eureka and Arcata, but it is the alternate route between Eureka and Arcata. The freeway is obviously the main route, and the vast majority of people just take 101 rather than 255. So since it's an alternate route, an overflow route, why does the speed limit have to be so fast? It's actually faster than between Eureka and Arcata on 101.
Yes,
and I think that's really the issue of anything that happens on 101, just of 101 being designated a safety corridor. You know, Michael was pointing out earlier that really impacted kind of speeds through Manila. And so even now we've been talking on this show about the potential improvements on the 101 safety corridor, and just thinking that anything done on the 101 really will affect both 255 and Old Arcata Road, because those are all three kind of parallel routes.
And so absolutely.
Really,
and
needs
wait till
to be
construction
a
starts
more
on any improvements over on 101. There'll yep. be delays. We experienced a 31% increase since the safety corridor was instituted in 2002. And so we've already experienced the increase in traffic, which means it's less safe. I actually asked the Caltrans guy, do you recognize that the increase in overflow traffic when people didn't want to go 50 and then they want to go 60 or 65 through our town? And I asked the Caltrans guy, does Caltrans realize that increase in traffic was less safe for us? And no, he wouldn't even give us an inch. We should probably try to work with you. They wouldn't even admit that the increased speeding traffic is less safe for us pedestrians.
Well, what's really amazing is, when you have a highway which was designed for 65 miles an hour, which is now at 50 between Eureka and Arcata, and I fully support that, by the way. The safety corridor has increased safety tremendously throughout that area. The only fatalities that we've had have been like wrong-way drivers and things like that, but there was just a spate of them before they put that into effect. If safety has improved so drastically along the 101, which is a highway designed for 65 miles an hour, wouldn't it also improve safety on a small little two-lane road that has absolutely nothing dividing the highway whatsoever, to slow that one down as well? Wouldn't that also improve safety?
I think even though that Caltrans processes can take a lot longer, it'd be good to acknowledge that they are right now undergoing an engineered feasibility study for State Route 255, and that's been, I think the first public meeting for that was back in January 2010, and there will be another public meeting about traffic calming options, bike, ped, non-motorized options along kind of each segment of the corridor, because the small bridges would definitely be treated a lot differently than through Manila and then also through the bottoms towards Arcata. And as I recall, I think that meeting will be at the February 15th at the Manila Community Center.
But it's
also good to acknowledge that, Michael, if you can touch on what community efforts have been. You guys have been pretty proactive over the years as far as organizing a feasibility study for trails and bike ped issues, and also of putting up slow down signs in private property along the corridor. Could you touch on that?
Yeah. In fact, I don't know if I mentioned it earlier. We had the transportation study done. It was complete. completed in 2005, which really laid out how we are less safe. We have twice the rate of collisions on our crossings as the rest of California. It studied some of the remedies, perhaps putting in a couple of roundabouts, perhaps a median. These things were studied and even priced, and it's disheartening to see that Caltrans is starting a feasibility study now when, in fact, we did this in 2005. We have some answers.
Who did the feasibility study in 2005?
What was it?
Who did the feasibility study?
It was a company called WTrans, and it was they worked with HCOG and Manila, and they've got pedestrian and bicycle recommendations. They studied our routes, they studied our crossings, they've got all the options for what's called traffic calming.
Is it a case where Caltrans doesn't recognize someone else's study that they have to do
well,
it themselves?
I believe they were involved in, sort of
in that study.
Like, we got a grant. You understand there's a problem. Now we've studied it. You've got these traffic engineers that come up with 30 or 40 pages of recommendations and explanations. And it was up to Caltrans to take it from there and say, well, look, we like this. This will slow traffic down. We can put in some roundabouts, medians. You know, I think the last thing Caltrans ever wants to do is reduce the speed limit. And it's the easiest, and it's the cheapest. I don't understand why they want to spend so much money.
Well, you have to understand that part of the mandate of Caltrans is to move people fast through communities. I mean, that is their
mandate.
And move cars. Right,
they,
exactly.
They care more about cars than bicyclists and pedestrians. But to get back to Emily, what's the community doing? We've put up signs in the past, but right now we're in a campaign to put up some large signs, 4 feet by 4 feet, nice bright colors, and we were going to put them on Caltrans right-of-way where they would be, seen easily, but Caltrans threatened to take them down, and the people who spent so much time painting those signs didn't want to lose them so easily. So we're finding private property alongside the Caltrans right-of-way, and we're asking people to drive slowly, save lives. Welcome to Manila. Just to kind of let people know that we're a community. We're asking you for a favor. We're asking you to slow down. Even if it says 55, try 45.
Right.
It's only seconds off your trip.
That's true.
For about a 2 or 3 mile stretch through Manila where we have cross intersections. If you were going from Arcata to Eureka or vice versa, we're talking about 40 or 50 seconds difference.
No, that is true. I mean, the thing is that even when the safety quarter came in, there was a lot of whining about that. The reality is it made a difference of about a minute between Eureka and Arcata. So,
and in most people's lives, that's too much to lose, so they go speeding.
So, Mike, let me ask you this. As the Manila Community Service District Board President, have you told Caltrans before they launch into this new study that there's already a study? It was done in 2005. Here it is. Hand it to them. Say, can you use this?
It would be like, thanks, we know that, but we have our own bureaucracy to work through.
Yeah, and I think that's where things can get frustrating and thinking of the longer time frame. But the goal really seems that once Caltrans has an engineered feasibility study, that type of the recommendations from that are much more easy to apply for funding to make it an actual project. So I'm hoping that is really what comes out of this engineered feasibility study, that 255 really can be a focus and some things can actually get implemented on the ground.
Well, there's something scary. They produced a slick little brochure about their engineered feasibility study. They handed it out to us last week, and it describes their methods of study and why they're doing it. But then it goes on to say this information will later be used to seek future funding sources.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking we're decades out. First, you have to study it, which takes 3 to 4 years, and then you're going to seek future funding sources beyond that. So I am not optimistic that Caltrans is actually on our side.
Well, what kind of funding source is needed to put up a new speed limit sign that says goes from 55 to maybe 45? I mean, that seems to be pretty inexpensive.
You would think that they could probably look in their inventory, whip out a 45-mile-an-hour sign, change the 55 to 45, and be done. But it's just not that simple for them.
And that's just always what we keep, you know, coming back to with larger, you know, state organizations, that even if there's, you know, really capable, you know, locals on the ground, you know, with the district, there's, you know, there's state protocols to follow, and that's where it's hard to know how to impact that, because those decisions even get made, you know, at headquarters, you know, out of our area. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I still always try to think how we can, you know, I guess that's, you know, really working at the state level for advocacy, for bicycle and pedestrian advocacy.
Now, one of the things that, you know, we talked about on this show just not that long ago was some of the traffic calming efforts on this same route in Arcata, where Samoa Boulevard is at four lanes, where it's being taken down to just two lanes, and traffic calming is being put into effect and making it safer for bicycles and pedestrians. So at least there's some part of that route where some calming is happening, right?
Yeah, but that definitely is. So the Caltrans corridor ends at K Street, and mm-hmm. that's effectively where Arcata's project, you know, was from pretty much F Street to K Street, because that's Arcata's right of way,
right.
Even though Caltrans runs the
entire
traffic
route, right.
And so that's, you know, that's just an area where Arcata, City of Arcata, definitely worked well with Caltrans to make that happen. But it was, you know, was able to, and there was a long history, you know, of plans, and definitely took a long time to make that happen, but happened really quickly and has been really effective. But, you know, that's the corridor that we're talking about through Manila is, you know, all operated, maintained, you know, by Caltrans, so it's a little bit different process.
Yep. And I can tell you firsthand that it is, you know, not necessarily safe for pedestrians or cyclists. It's just, you know, there's traffic just whizzing by very fast, and you know, there's not that much of a shoulder there, and it's kind of spooky.
And some other you know, options that people have been thinking about for a while is just some separated trails through Manila, whether that's on the NCRA rail corridor, since there is a rail corridor that parallels 255. And, you know, perhaps rail with trail on kind of on that corridor. And that's been just, you know, looked at preliminarily through the Humboldt Coastal Trail project. And then also of, you know, perhaps having a trail within the right-of-way of 255. I mean, really, it's a wide right-of-way, and that was something that I know the Friends of the Dunes had really tried to work with Caltrans to see if, you know, that could happen. I know that's something that's being studied, but those are just, you know, some other options in addition to the much-needed traffic calming.
Yeah, I think the folks of Manila support the rails to trails, and mm-hmm. also a wider bicycle lane right on the highway. Because, you know, yeah. Some people are, it seems to me, if the railroad bed was turned into a bicycle trail, and it's almost more recreational than the people who are just, you know, leaving their house, getting on the highway and heading toward work, you know. So some bicyclists are just commuters, and they need a safe place right on the side of the highway to do that.
Absolutely. And with regard to the rail with trail concept, or a trail paralleling the highway, since the right of way is wide enough, Michael, what kind of efforts is the service district looking at with regard to that? Are they interested in pursuing that as well?
Pursuing what the safer
routes, the trails. Concept. I know there is a lot of folks who want to make sure the train tracks stay there, but I think that right of way is wide enough where it could be a rail with trail. Is that right, Emily?
For parts of it, mm-hmm. there's certainly parts along the southern part of Manila where the tracks are pretty much in the bay, And there's a prism that either for return of rail or for a trail would really have to be reinforced. And, mm-hmm. you know, that would be the tricky part of that's a lot more narrow there. Further up north, there's a lot more right-of-way to work with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, getting back to the services district, we basically have water, sewer, and recreation powers. But we do serve as a focal point for the community. We really help the community in focusing their energy and amplifying their voice when we're dealing with Caltrans or any other agencies. I know that Mark Lovelace is helping us with this. He has the stomach to work with bureaucracies, and he's trying to facilitate perhaps a temporary getting a radar trailer that gives you your speed feedback alongside the road. Right now, Caltrans has to do a study before they even put a radar feedback trailer. Yes. Supposedly it's close to the wetland, blah, blah, blah. So but Mark is trying to get them to use an unused county radar trailer alongside the road. And, to most of us, that's not going to do it. Most people know they're speeding. It's not a matter of, oh, you have to point it out. They're in a hurry, and they think that it's okay. So part of it is just education. And maybe people listening and driving this morning can just take that into under advice that, you know, we are suffering at times when there's heavy traffic, people trying to cross the highway or even entering the highway and getting up to speed. There's no acceleration lanes. Basically, we want to help the citizens. I think the citizens do a great job of pushing Caltrans and pushing this and, you know, just making the signs and putting them up. So so it's the citizens that I applaud. There's been a group working for more than 25 years on this, and somehow they stay working on it.
Well, best of luck with the effort, because it sounds like it's frustrating at times.
Let me remind people to come out on the Wednesday, February 15th. I'm assuming it's in the evening. Stay tuned. I'm sure there'll be some public service announcements.
Okay.
Caltrans is going to come, and they're going to explain their engineered feasibility study to us.
Okay. And unfortunately, we are out of time. Michael, thank you so much for taking the time with us this morning. Emily, as always, fantastic. And
thank you, Cliff.
You bet. And Emily, are there any things that we need to touch on before we wrap it?
I guess just in related at the HCOG board is going to be happening on Thursday at 4:00, and one of the agenda items will be sort of a kind of an update on the 101 safety corridor, and we talked earlier about. Votes from HCOG for funding allocation for that project. But Caltrans is coming and is going to be presenting an analysis of a half signal at Indianola, which was just brought up as some of the board members and TAC members had said it would be great to see this analysis instead of a large interchange. So that will be happening at the Eureka City Hall Thursday at 4:00.
All right. Very good. And do we have anything on the agenda for next week yet?
Yeah, we're going to be speaking with Denise Newman, who is a trail interpretation expert.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're going to be talking about kind of the mixture of environmental education and trails and active living and how, your favorite trails in the area are, you know, even cooler with the addition of interpretive signs and how that links with environmental education.
All right, very good. And this conversation, as all conversations on Happy Trails, will be podcast at iTunes and khum.com.
Happy Trails to you.